Let's start in 27th chapter of Acts and see how far we get. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, the architect of the early church. Y'all got time for me to preach this morning?
Amen.
If you got time, I got something to preach. And when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and a certain other prisoners unto us, one named Justus, who was a centurion of the Augustus band, Caesar Augustus. And entering into a ship, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, and to Articus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us also. Luke was with them. Can you believe that? The Bible said Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts. And we've got Luke on board the ship. We've got a correspondent on the ship watching firsthand what's going on. So boy, are we blessed, right? So we've got some folks say, well, these guys wrote about what they heard about. Well, we've got good eyes on the ship right here and got good ears. So he's telling us exactly what happened. And listen to this. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. When we sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship from Alexandria that was sailing to Italy, and he put us on it. He put us on it. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? What's going on here, Pastor? Well, you see, Paul is a Roman citizen. And when Paul was arrested and he appeared before Festus and Felix and Drusilla and then to Agrippa, the king, and the Bible said, finally, Paul just said, I have decided I want to appeal to Caesar. Now, that's the right of every Roman citizen. They'd forgotten, the Bible said, because Paul was a citizen of Rome. You know, when God ordains things, he selects and does things that look very peculiar to us at the time. And we scratch our head and say, Lord, why did you do that? Why did you choose him? Well, number one, in order to get to Caesar, to preach to Caesar, you got to be a citizen. So when God was choosing citizens, he couldn't find many Jewish people, especially that were citizens. In fact, the only one I know of that has ever been written about or recorded is Paul. And Paul appeals to Caesar, so what that means is he's got to go all the way to Italy and to appear before Caesar. Now, the Bible tells us that he was assigned this guy named Justus to go with him and to make the thing work. And there was 279 souls on board the ship. Don't you like it when a doctor writes, hey, doc, you get to hear this, when a doctor writes the book of Acts? You probably wouldn't have got that information that there was 279 souls on board. But a doctor would be precise enough to tell you those kind of things that you wouldn't get that from maybe John or evangelists, but you get it from the doctor Luke because he put it in there, wanted you to know it. And they were all sailors, and the others were passengers, and it just happened to be that the Apostle Paul and Justus got on board this ship from Alexandria on its way to Italy. Now, Alexandria, we all know, is in Egypt. And Egypt is a place for growing cotton, for one thing. A very famous Egyptian cotton is of a special blend. And other things is that there are certain things that grow good in Egypt that Rome wants. So this was a ship that was full of grain. It was a ship that was carrying flour, wheat, to Rome to make all those pastries that you love so much and all of that. That good eating that goes on, they've got to get them from somewhere. So they had bought this, the owner of this ship had bought the wheat and the grain in Alexandria, and now they're on their journey back to Italy to deposit what they've bought for the folks and the vendors in Rome. And the Bible said, and the centurion, Justus, put us on that ship. You know, I just kind of believe God knows what he's doing when he puts us in places and aligns us with his will. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to us sometimes, and we wonder. But the whole idea behind Paul is that Paul was a certain kind of evangelist and a certain kind of people person, and he was also the architect of the early church. He was a missionary. He was an evangelist. He was a pastor. He was an overseer. And brother, I'm telling you, to have that many talents and that many gifts is really a special thing. So God had a special person in place for a special thing God wanted to do. God wanted Rome to know that he was greater than their empire. God wanted Rome to know that you're not really in charge of this world. I am the king of all the earth. Amen. And for those that don't know if they're a boy or a girl, he didn't say he's the queen of all the earth. He said he's the king of all the earth. And if we're the bride of Christ, do any of you feel like we're the bride of Christ? About half of us. I hope when we get through, you'll all be convinced that we're the bride of Christ. Then that makes Jesus our husband. Glory to God. God, who became flesh, chose to be in flesh as a man. Amen. And the Bible said he went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, Pastor, I thought you said he is God. He is God. Amen. But he robed himself with human flesh, and he became obedient even to the death of the cross. And he became obedient. He, through suffering, learned he obedience, the Bible said. Because Jesus wanted to know what it feels like to be one of us. And if he's going to die for the sins of the whole world, and if he's going to be made to be sin for us, then he wanted to know the emotional part. How does it feel to be a person that needs God to go with you? So as God, glory to God, as God, he suffered the human condition, but as God, hallelujah, he is Lord over all things. And he miraculously displayed his power because he was God in human flesh. Praise God. The Apostle Paul, when he was struck off of his donkey on the way to Damascus, he realized, I'm in the presence of something and someone much greater than I. And he realized, I'm in the presence of God. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, and his next question is so intriguing. It's this, then what would you have me do? Brother, when you find out who he is, next question is, what do you want me to do? Glory to God. What do you want me to do? And God said, I'm going to use you. You're going to be a vessel, a chosen vessel. You're going to do great things for me. And you're going to preach before Caesar. Well, that's unheard of. No one in their right mind could imagine how that as lowly as the Jewish people were could reach the place that they would gain an audience with Caesar Augustus. But God said, that's what's going to happen, and you're on your way. It had to happen. It had to happen. Why did it have to happen? Because it's God's will. Why did it have to happen that God caused evil to be turned into good? How does it happen that God turns the tables on Satan's activities and turns out his devilish dealings and makes it into something good? How is it that Joseph's family hated him and despised him, wanted him dead, but thanks be to God, God took the evil and meant it for good? God is excellent and most precious when he takes something that everybody else has labeled as bad and dirty and should be ostracized and thrown away. God loves to take throwaways and make something great and turn evil for good. It had to happen. It had to happen. So then, I'm going to paraphrase here for you and get you, because I won't have time if I read all of that. The Bible said that they determined that they would sail. And the Bible also tells us that Paul said, listen, fellas, said, I've had something, an encounter, and said, I've met with God, and I've asked God about our journey. I've prayed about it. That used to be common language among Pentecostals. I've prayed about it. We used to ask one another, have you prayed about it yet? Amen. Have you prayed about it? He said, I've prayed about this trip we're on, fellas. And I'm telling you, the best advice I could give you is we don't need to do this. The Lord has showed me that we're going to be in great peril and our lives are going to be in danger and we're going to come up against catastrophic, disastrous things if we continue in this journey. We better not sail from Fair Haven because there's a lot of bad things that can happen. But the Bible said, but the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship said, we're going to ignore your advice. We don't know your God. We don't know anything about his dealings or his doings. And we're just going to follow our conventional wisdom and we're going to go on. And Paul said, don't you know this time of year is a bad time for storms in the South Mediterranean? There's all kind of bad things that can happen. You don't need to do that. You know, it amazes me that you can preach messages from the Word of God and tell people, here's some things you don't need to do, folks, because if you do this and you sow those seeds, you're going to reap a bitter crop. If you go in this direction, you're going to meet with calamity and disaster. You don't need to do that. And what do people do? They just go on, I can handle this job all by myself. They feel like they're invincible and feel like they can just go on, whether you got God or haven't got God, that God is an abstract being, that he's not, doesn't have any kind of influence over where we are now. Well, I need to tell you, God has all the influence over where we are now. Amen. He's not just a participant. He is the ruler of this world. He is in charge of it all. Every morning he rolls out the heavens, and this earth is his footstool. Praise the Lord. He is in charge. He, from sunrise to sunset, he is in charge. Amen. Every morning when the sun comes up, it comes up by the permission of God. Amen. The waves of the beaches, they have permission of God to roll up on that beach. Why? Because God is the word. The Bible said it this way. All things consist by the word of his mouth. Woo! Brother, that's called word of God. Everything consists by the word of God. Paul could easily have said, guys, you're going by a map of the Mediterranean. I'm going by the word of God. Oh, the word of God is far superior to any dictionary. The word of God is far superior to any instruction manual. The word of God is more powerful. It's more teaching. It's more edifying. It's more encouraging than any other book that you would read or any other post that you might have on Facebook. God is greater. God is greater. And because he's greater, sometimes his people believe him for unbelievable things. Has God ever done anything unbelievable for you? Has God ever supplied a need for you that is in the category of miraculous? Miraculous. Miraculous. Hey, in our years here on this bypass, we've seen God do miraculous things. And every time that our need becomes unbearable for us, God sends deliverance some other way. Amen. We've had people walk in off the street and write a check for $25,000. Amen. Don't know who she was, don't know where she came from. You mean things happen like that? Yes. God does things like that. When Margaret Gaines left here, a teenage girl, to go to the mission field, and the mission board said, we can't underwrite you, we can't do it, you're too young, you're too inexperienced, you don't have any background in pastoring a church or doing any kind of evangelism. Why in the world do you want to go to Tunisia? She said, because God told me to. And God spoke to her when she got to Miami and said to her, Alice Miller is the name of a young lady, and said, you're going to meet her here somewhere in this group, and said, she is to go with you to Tunisia. And he no longer said that, to Margaret. I wish she was here to tell you that. Till Alice Miller came walking right up to her and said, "You're Margaret Gaines, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes, I am." She said, "God told me that I'm the one to go with you to Tunisia." Now, how does God do stuff like that? Amen. It had to happen because God wills it, and that's God's mysterious, miraculous way of doing things. I told you about how my dad started a church in Jasper, Tennessee. He was driving down the road coming back from preaching and was driving 41 Highway out of Jasper going toward Chattanooga, and I'll let him tell this. Dad said, "And the Holy Ghost took the steering wheel out of my hands." Brother Jerry, that's weird. Well, you see, God's not bound by the things we're bound by, and he's not limited by the things that we're limited by. And he said, the Lord turned that old Chevrolet car he was driving around in the middle of the road and headed it back toward Jasper. And Dad said, when I got it over to the side of the road, I said, "Lord, what are you saying?" And he said, the Lord told him, said, "I want you to start a church in Jasper." It had to happen. He called the overseer the next day. It was U.D. Tidwell, Ray Hughes, his father-in-law, Uverla's dad. He was the overseer of Tennessee. And he said, "John, go out on the mountain, Cumberland Mountain," said the state tent, we own a tent, said, "go out there and take the state tent down and carry it down there to Jasper and start a church." My daddy cut two old pine poles, stuck them in the fenders of that old car he was driving, made a makeshift poor man's truck out of it, and went out there and rolled that tent up and got those stakes and put them all in it and bundled them up and put them up on that stake and come off that mountain. Now, I'd like to have interviewed some people he met coming off that mountain. I imagine some folks, where is that fool going with that tent rolled up like that on the back of his car? What in the world is that idiot? You'll run into anything nowadays out on these highways. He pulled up in Jasper, Tennessee. Steve stopped to get him a hamburger at the Tennessean. It's a restaurant there on 41 in Jasper. A man owned it. His name was John Turner. John Turner was the chairman of the deacon board at First Baptist. He looked out the window, and my dad got out of that old car. And John Turner looked at my daddy and said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" Dad said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "You're a Pentecostal preacher, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." "Come here to start a church, didn't you?" "Yes, sir, I have." He said, "Well, God told me that you were coming, and I've got a lot up on First Street," and said, "That's where God told me to put the tent." What? See, what I'm telling you is life don't just happen and you just float along, stumbling your way through this thing we call life. God orders the steps of a good man. God knows what he's doing. God takes care of them that are his. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. They say, I've got a picture somewhere with those old boat register boards. You remember them old boards, Hoyt, we used to have that would put so many people in Sunday school and offering from class number one and who won the banner and all that? I've got a picture of my daddy, and I think I was 3 years old. I was and on the front row, yeah. Come on. And got, I think it's over 200 people in a tent. It had to happen. I remember going with my dad on Saturday mornings. He had street service down there in the middle of Jasper. And there was a department store there called J.V. Barker Department Store. There was a fire escape up the side of it. And people would come and sit on the steps of that fire escape and listen to my daddy preach. And I'd sit over there on the guitar box and listen to my daddy preach. One day, the town drunk, Leonard Lane, come walking down the street. He'd lean up against the lamppost as he was making his way down. He'd walk a few more steps, and he'd stop again. He walked on up there where it got close to my dad. My dad walked over to him, put his arms around him and said, Leonard Lane, God loves you. And God will save you. And God will wash all the sin out of your life and make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You can be born again. You can have a new start. All that life has been will change and you'll become a new creature in Christ Jesus. He knelt at that old guitar case and started praying. Went home, fell across the bed crying. His wife, Nell, came in and she said, Leonard, what in the world's the matter with you? He said, I heard that preacher preach up there on the street and he told me that God loved me. You get these kids ready, Nell. We're going out there to that tent in the morning and we're going to be in church in the morning. Leonard Lane became a charter member of the Jasper, Tennessee Church of God. It had to happen. When God has a plan, God works his plan. We may see it for evil, but God means it for good. And God can take the throwaways, and God can take the downcast, and God can take the ones that you've given up on. God can take them and make great people out of them and wonderful Christians with a great testimony of their salvation experience. Well, we've got Paul over here, and he said, brethren, let's don't go on this trip. There's great disaster can happen. But the Bible said, we're not going to listen to you. You're just a little old Church of God preacher. We're not going to pay any attention to you. And they got on that ship, and they set sail. And the Bible said before they got past Crete, one of the islands in the South Mediterranean, the Bible said they were caught. We were caught in the midst of a storm that they called Euroclydon. Those South Mediterranean storms were so fierce that every sailor dreaded them. They hated it because it was almost a death sentence. And the Bible said they were in the throes of that violent storm for 14 days. Do you know how long that is? 2 weeks. Now listen, when you're normally riding on the Mediterranean Sea, it's kind of a problem. You get jostled about because that ship does this right here. But when you're in a storm, it's right here. Have you ever been on a ship that was in a small storm and it was rough enough? You said, I'd hate to be in this thing if we had a big storm going on. Well, Brother Paul found himself in the midst of a big storm. Big storm. And the Bible said, so much so that their lives were in jeopardy. Lives were in jeopardy. Listen to what it says. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. All hope was lost. I'm going to tell you something. Hopelessness is a terrible plight. Hopelessness is a terrible thing to happen. Look at verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me. Well, that's past history now. We can all do that if we want to. What do you got to say about now? You should have hearkened to me and not loosed from Crete and gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. What was God saying? God was saying, I didn't promise the ship anything. I promised you. I didn't tell that ship I'd take care of that ship. I told everybody I'd take care of you. Did you know the promises of God are yea and amen? Did you know that the promises of God can be depended upon? Did you know you can make it through a trial on the promises of God? Did you know that you can move mountains on the promise of God? Did you know that you can get lost people saved because of the promise of God? Hallelujah. The Bible said, therefore are given to us great and exceeding promises, and that God cannot fail. Every promise he has met, his word he will not break. He cannot lie. He is the God who does what he promises to do. And the promise of his presence is so great. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end. If you descend down into the lowest depths of hell, he said, though you make your bed in hell, you'll find me there, because I'm never going to leave you. It had to happen. If you get the wings of morning and start flapping your wings and you fly away and make your nest among the stars, yet you will find me there. My right hand shall uphold you. My right hand shall lead you. God said, I will empower you. I will take care of you. I will preserve you. Hallelujah. What a great and mighty God he is, that he takes care of us in all of these situations. Paul said, thrice they beat my back with rods. 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. I've been in perils of the sea. I've been afloat and left for dead. I've been stoned. All of those things. But the next verse, touch your neighbor and say the next verse. Next verse said, but. Yes, I've had battles to fight. Yes, I've had mountains that I couldn't hardly deal with. Yes, there have been valleys of despondency and despair. Yes, there have been times when I suffered. There have been times when I was in prison, beaten, often 40 stripes save one of a cat of nine tails. But none of those things move me. None of that causes me to feel differently than I feel about God. None of that can change my mind. None of that can make me become somebody I'm not. None of that can make me bitter. None of that can make me critical. None of that can do anything to me. None of those things move me from who I am right now. Listen, and neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course, finish my course with joy. Finish my course with joy. In other words, he said, I'm not going to get old and bitter. I'm not going to get old and resentful. I'm not going to get old with blame and hard feelings. I'm not going to grow old, he said, with any kind of baggage that the enemy would like to put on me. None of those things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God. Grace of God. And the next verse there gives you so much. It's over in Paul's farewell to the church at Ephesus. That's in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. He says to them, he said, and now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me there. But none of that moves me either. Glory to God. I've started for heaven, and I'm going through. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started for heaven, and I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. Glory to God. Have you made up your mind that none of these things move me? And I'm not going to change my mind about it. I'm not going to grow old and get bitter and sour and demure. No, I'm going to keep a good attitude. And I'm going to encourage everybody I can encourage. Now, can you believe that Paul walked out there and tells these guys, hey, boys, let's get encouraged. Be of good cheer. Now, it would take a Pentecostal to say something as stupid as that. It would sure enough take Somebody that sees something other people don't see. To say something like that. What he said was, everything is going to be all right. Don't worry. Don't get all upset and be anxious. Just keep trusting God and be of good cheer. Here's another reason you can be of good cheer. For behold, this night the angel of the Lord has stood by my bedside. And while he was standing by my bedside, he said to me, he said, all of this ship is going to be destroyed. But he said, all 279 of you will live through it and survive and be okay. The ship's going to perish. The ship's going to fall apart. The ship's going to be beaten into pieces. But you're going to be all right. See, sometimes when you get so used to the thing that's carrying you. This boat is carrying them. And sometimes you can get so wrapped up in what's carrying you. Some people say, oh, I've got a good job. It'll make me good. I'll be all right. I don't have a thing to worry about. I got a good job. Well, I tell you right now, I got my house paid for this week and lived in that old house now for a while. Got it paid for. That'll do me till I die. Don't have to worry no more about it. Come on. Tell it. Well, my old car out there, it's got a good bit of miles on it, but it's still a good one. It cranks when I turn the key and takes me where I want to go. So bless God, I'm going to make it fine. It carries me well. All right. Well, one guy that Jesus said had much goods laid up in store for many years. In fact, he tore down his old barns and built new barns to put all the blessings of God into. And he said, oh, soul, take thine ease.
All right.
Oh, weary bones, right back here and relax and take it easy. You've got it made for years to come. And the Bible said, and suddenly, the voice said, thou fool. Be careful what's carrying you. Don't fall in love with what's carrying you, because there may be a storm come up. I said there may be a storm come up, and what's been carrying you all this time might get blown away. You might lose it in the storm. I watched this last week as people out had tornadoes to come through and blow away, and they had one fellow there, and he said, I've lost everything. I've lost it all. I've got nothing left. This storm has just destroyed my life. Let me tell you, if what's carrying you is tangible and can be blown away in a storm, trust me, there'll be a storm come sometime that'll get what you think can't be got and destroy what you think can't be destroyed. And next thing you know, you'll turn around and say, wow, what a fool I was to trust that, because the storm has taken it all away. The storm has blown it all away. I've lost everything. See, if you put your confidence in what you've got, if you put your confidence in this present world, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away. There will be a storm. There will be a flood. There will be an event. There will be an incident. There will be a time when all that you've trusted in is suddenly gone. Wow, can you believe that on a ship in the Mediterranean Sea, and a preacher gets up and preaches and said, this ship is going to be beaten to pieces. But I want to tell you something. We're all going to be all right. Be of good cheer. We're all going to be all right. Hallelujah. How in the world can a preacher get up and preach and prophesy gloom, despair, and agony is in your forecast? Loss may be in the forecast, but you know in whom you have believed. You know in whom you have believed. You know who you've trusted for your soul salvation. You know who walks before you. You know who has prepared the way. You know who said, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You know the Lord that hears and answers prayer. And you can say with the Apostle Paul, then none of those things move me. Neither can I count my life dear to myself. I can't get accustomed to this world. I can't put my trust and my confidence in all of these things. I'm going to trust in Him who has never lost a battle. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in the one who said, wind, cease your blowing. Waves, nestle down there. Lightning, thunder, wind, stop that. Peace, be still. And the Bible said there was a great calm. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Paul said, now the best thing you guys can do is get something to eat. What it says, I promise, read it. Michelle's done read it in front of me. She knows it says that. Get you something to eat. Why do I need to get something to eat, Pastor? Because there's something coming up here in the future that you're going to need physical strength and you're going to need spiritual strength. God's going to deliver you. God's going to help you. God's going to bless you. But at the same time, you need to be strong. And for you to be strong, you got to eat. That's why you come in here on Sunday mornings. That's why you sit in that chair and you listen to this preacher preach under the auspices of the Holy Spirit and give you spiritual food. The Bible said that ye may grow thereby. Oh, you got to grow up to face some of the storms you're going to face. You got to grow up and mature and develop. And what is it they say? Put your big boy britches on. Amen. When the devil calls you out in the street, wants a shootout with you about your faith, come on somebody, wants a confrontation with you about your faith, you got to put your big boy britches on. Say, thus he hath spoken, and thus have I believed. Glory to God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I am who I am by the grace of God. I exist by the power of God. Hallelujah. He that keepeth me will neither slumber nor sleep. I will not fear what man shall do unto me, for the Lord is the strength of my life. He is my light and he is my salvation. Of whom shall I fear, or of what shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Paul said, now this is God's plan. He said, this ship is going to be broken to pieces, but you're all going to be all right. How can that be? That the only thing between us and water is this ship. The only thing that separates us from death and destruction and disaster is this ship. And you're going to take that ship away, and I've got to make it to shore. I just can't do that. There's no way. Some of them, the Bible said, could not swim. Sir, what recruiter, naval recruiter, recruited you? And when you filled out the application, did you lie and say you could swim when you really couldn't swim? You got to be a swimmer if you're in the Navy. Duh. They're going to put you in the water. They're going to throw you in the tank. Don't lie about that. Paul said, all right, we've got swimmers and can't swimmers. I started to say something ugly. Church is kind of like that too, ain't it? You got swimmers and can't swimmers. You got some gets it and some folks that don't gets it. Come on, somebody. But my job as a pastor is try to get both of those groups to the land. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Oh, yeah. This life is a journey. This thing is about going somewhere. Praise God. That night you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Wash my sins away. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. You started on a journey. Started on a journey. I love those old songs about the old ship of Zion. Love those songs about storms. Storms keep me safe. Is that it? Till the storm passes by. Till the long night is over. Storms no more. Thunder sounds no more. That's it. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. The Bible said they started searching for it. Boy, I'm leaving out so much good stuff. Can I preach some more of this next Sunday? Because it's good, good stuff. It talks about when your ship gets busted all to pieces. That God can take the broken pieces and help you get to shore. If you just cling to a board. Oh, that's another sermon for another time. But the Bible said they started looking for a way. How can we make this happen? How are in the world are we going to make it? The ship's going to be beat to pieces, but we're going to make it. All of us are going to make it. Paul said, all of you swimmers, you go first. All of you swimmers, over the bow and into the water, it's your time to swim. Glory to God. Now all of you that can't swim, get you a plank. When this thing starts coming apart, grab you a piece of the ship. Sometimes don't get rid of what's temporary. Because amidst those temporary materials, God can bring about something permanent. Amen. It's all right to be a hoarder in spiritual things because you got somewhere to put it. You don't ever have to worry about a building big enough to hold all your stuff that you want to save. It's okay to be a hoarder if you're spiritually hoarding because, hey, more you pile in that thing, better off you are. And Paul said, all of you that can't swim, get a board. Yes, what was carrying you got destroyed. What was carrying, thank you, Lord. The Bible said they were really confounded by how that they were going to get that ship into ground over there without just a terrible blow. And the Bible said, and they found a creek. They found a creek that had an opening there about the width of the boat. And they said, we can just wedge this thing right in there. And the Bible said, now they've got encouraged now. They got encouraged back up when Paul said, be encouraged. Back in the 36:7 verse, he said they were encouraged. So they took his advice. So they started working with, but when you start working with God, you headed in the right direction. When you start working with God and working with the people of God and working with the Word of God, you become a participant of this grace and a partaker, that's a great word, a partaker. Now, you know, I believe that when God was making the earth, I believe that somehow he knew that a well needed to go on that Samaritan way because one day Jesus would sit on that well and lead a Samaritan woman to Jesus. I believe things don't just appear. I don't think that Zacchaeus found that tree that he climbed up in by accident. God put that tree right where it needed to be for what needed to happen. Zacchaeus would have to have one to climb. I believe when God made the Mediterranean and he said, let's call this body of water over here. The Bible said the finger of God put the boundary lines for the water. And he said, we're going to call that the Pacific Ocean. And over on this side, on the eastern side, we're going to put the Atlantic Ocean. And once we get here in the Mediterranean, we're going to scoop that out, put Spain down here on the bottom, and a little place called Portugal over there by them, and the rest of the countries around the basin all the way around. Oh, yeah. I don't need to forget that creek. I need to put that creek here because one of these days there's going to be some people in trouble, and they're on a ship, and they're going to be having to find out what can we do to make this happen. So I need to make them a creek here. Oh, what does that let you know? It lets me know that he goes before us. And he prepares the way before us. The Bible, David used to sing, he knows the way that I have taken. Job said, he knows the way I have taken. When he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. When you take that situation, God said, the reason we're doing all this, getting these people, is I've got something great to do. You're going to go and appear before Caesar, but you've got some epistles to write. You've got some words of encouragement. You really did good with that encouragement assignment. So I tell you what, when we get the church organized, then when the Nero and the Trajans and all of those Caesarian rulers start killing my people, they're going to need some encouragement. So then you write to them, rejoice in the Lord always. Right over in Romans, the light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's not worthy to be mentioned compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, yeah, write to those Galatians that he that calleth you is faithful who also will do it. Oh, yeah, to those Thessalonians that you told them that the Lord is coming back one day in a cloud of glory. Hallelujah. And he said, and then ye shall be glad with an exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. When the glorification happens, when all that we've been through in this life is just a faded memory, and we stand in glorification with the Lord Jesus, pick up something that's left of that broken situation, and it will be the peace that God uses to get you to where you're going. Come on, Olivia. Come quick. I'm late in the sermon today. They found some people when they got on land. And what was it he called them? He called them a name, Laotians, something of that nature. I believe that's it. But that's a very sweet name for them. They were barbarians. And when they started speaking, Paul told the other sailors, he said, they don't speak our language, boys. But the Bible said they built a fire. And the people seemed very hospitable. And they seemed very amiable. And it looked like that everything was going to work out. And let me tell you what kind of day it was. It was rainy. It was cold. And they were out there. Now look here at Paul. God has told me I'm going to preach to Caesar. Been on this boat 2 weeks. Hadn't seen the sun or the stars in 2 weeks. Brother, we've just crashed a ship and made it on board, on land. And here I'm sitting, cold, damp, and miserable. My Lord. What else? What else could happen to me? And the Bible said, as he walked over and put a piece of wood on the fire, that a viper came out and latched on to him. Now those barbarians were, the Bible said they were watching. It said, Steve, they were watching. You know why they were watching? Because they knew that everybody that had been bit by that kind of snake didn't make it. And the Bible said that vipers latched on to Paul and he got it on his arm. I love to preach that message. Brother, I love that one. Sometimes the devil will love to latch on to you when he's got you in a remote place and nobody knows the language and you're cold and you're wet and it's raining and you've just been through a terrible debacle and you've been trying to lead people, 279 of them, and you've been through all kind of malady and everything in the world, and next thing you know, you get snake bit. But the Bible said that he walked over to the fire and he shook it off. Why don't you shake it off? Shake it off. Hallelujah. How long has it been since you had a good shake it off service? One of those services where you just shake the devil off. Amen. And the Bible said that viper perished. But Paul was, and here comes the king of the barbarians around, and he says, we need to know about your God. We need to know about your God, because obviously we're serving the wrong one. Thank God you got shipwrecked on this island, because we need to know your God. I wonder if Pentecostals could ever build a fire big enough that we could shake the vipers off and shake off all of the poison off, and that people would come and say, we need to know your God. If your God can save you and spare you through that kind of onslaught, then surely we need that kind of God. I believe America needs a God, the God of heaven, Yahweh, Jehovah God, the great God, the creator God. America needs to claim allegiance to that God. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, that is our only hope. Our only hope. Stand with me, please. It had to happen. It had to happen. It had to happen. It had to happen. Brother, anytime God's people are involved in any kind of conflict, God will be there in the midst of it, and God will sustain them that are his. You can't burn them in a fire. Nebuchadnezzar found out you can't burn them in a fire. Noah found out that floodwaters can destroy a lot of things, but the Bible said they will never overflow the righteous. They will never become a problem to people that love and know the Lord. And you know, what we teach and preach here, number one, we want people to find freedom when they come here. If you've got any snakes that need to be shook off, praise God. We want to build a fire big enough that you can shake a snake off in. The Bible said, but our God is a consuming fire. Do you know that? And the Bible said that John said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but one's coming after me, the likes of whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire. Praise God, we need to build a fire big enough that people can get rid of things that have latched themselves onto them and get free and delivered. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Let's go down there to that Pentecostal church where they all preach. Let's go down there to that Pentecostal. Oh, hallelujah. I needed to tell you right there. The whole reason I preach is so you will preach. God anoints me to make a preacher out of you. Because every time somebody says, what'd your preacher preach yesterday? Oh, if you got a few minutes, sit down here. He preached about a snake. that latched itself to the Apostle Paul, and he shook it off. God is gracious and kind and loving. Answers our prayer when we call upon him, doesn't he? He really, really does. He really, really does. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? You got any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? God specializes. God specializes in things thought impossible. Things thought impossible. He'll do what no other power can do. Do what no other power can do. There are people standing right here today that just recently some have gone through a storm. Storms come in this life. It's inevitable. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Things I can't understand. Things happen that you don't deserve. Things happen that seems unfair. Things happen sometimes that you just can't seem to understand the logic of it. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven who understands and knows. And if you'll trust him, if you'll trust him, if you'll trust him, if you'll trust him, then he will not fail you and he will not forsake you. I want you to take the hand of that person that's beside you, and we're going to do something that the Bible says for us to do. The Bible said, pray one for another. Why? That you may be healed. Anybody need healing this morning? This obedience to the Word of God just might be what God uses for you to receive what you need from him today. God, in Jesus' name, we come before you. In Jesus' name, we right now, oh God, acknowledge you as the Lord of our lives. You're the captain of our ship, the captain of our vessel. We've put our trust in you. We put our confidence in you. There are folk in this room, oh Lord, that have been through storms, some of them most recently, that were so hurtful and so painful. But you know all about every one of those, oh God. And you're able today, oh God, to minister to these people and strengthen and encourage them. I can say to them, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for the Lord hears and the Lord answers prayer. God, would you just touch people today and lift them up above the shadows of despondency and despair and give them a glorious glimpse of your power, your healing power, your transforming power. God, in Jesus' name, touch people that need forgiveness. Touch people today, O Lord, that need cleansing. Touch people today, O Lord, that need repentance and calling and confession. Oh, Jesus, let them feel right now the nearness of your presence and your availability to touch and heal and bless every one of them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let's do what the word of the Lord says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. In good times, praise his name. In bad times, do the same. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We exalt your name on high. You're worthy to be worshiped and you're worthy to be praised. Thou alone, O Lord, hast all power. Thou alone, O Lord, are the Lord of our lives, and we worship and praise you from the coming up of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord shall be praised. The name of the Lord shall be praised. The name of the Lord shall be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your wonderful name, Jesus. I feel like saying to someone, if you'll ask him, he will answer you. Somehow the devil has convinced you that God would not listen to you, that God would not hear your prayer. I want to tell you that's a lie in the name of Jesus. God does hear prayers. God does answer prayers, and he'll hear yours. He'll hear yours. Give him a chance this morning. Give God a chance this morning. God wants to do something for you. Just ask God right now, Lord, touch me, heal me, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. Give me, oh Lord, that new start, that new life in Christ. Give me that born again experience, God, that I can have all things made new in my life. I ask you, Lord, come into my heart right now. I receive you as Lord and Master of my life, and I'll serve you, and I'll praise you, and I'll worship you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And now may the God of all grace and the communion of the Holy Ghost go with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly whether you shake hands or not. Go in the Spirit and the love of God.